So today we celebrate the feast of the baptism of the Lord, and this is the end of the Christmas season. So parents, you know how quickly your children grow up. Imagine last week Jesus was an infant in our gospel, and this week he's 30 years old. I think the church hit the hyperspeed drive, and we really fast-forwarded really quickly in the events of Christ's life. But this is the final event of his epiphany, of his manifestation. Notice that the beginning of Advent began with John the Baptist, the voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And the Christmas season ends with John the Baptist, he who says he is not even worthy to kneel down and untie the sandal of Christ. John the Baptist is called the friend of the bridegroom, which is a Jewish term meaning he's the best man of Christ. He's intimately linked to the mission of Jesus as the Messiah. And today, Christ inaugurates his public ministry as the Messiah. There's 30 years of his life that we know very little about. We know after the Magi left that Jesus and the Holy Family had to run into Egypt because Herod was out to kill him. We know that when he was 12, he got lost. But other than that, he lived an ordinary life and was taught the trade of a carpenter by Joseph. It's very interesting to think that the one who was working with wood would later be fastened to the wood of the cross. God knew what he was doing in every part of his son's life, just as he knows what he's doing with every detail of our life. So St. Luke in our gospel today gives us some important details about the baptism of Jesus, and I want to highlight the meaning of them and then the significance that they have for our own baptism into Christ Jesus. First, we're told that many people were going out to be baptized, and Jesus also was baptized. How humbling to think the Son of God lining up with sinners to be baptized. The one who is sinless, unafraid to identify himself with us in the messiness of our own sin. The Catechism in paragraph 536 beautifully explains this mystery, saying, "The baptism of Jesus is on his part the acceptance and inauguration of his mission as God's suffering servant." More to come on that. God's suffering servant. Christ allowed himself to be numbered among sinners. He is already the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus' act of humble submission to John's baptism is a sign of his submission and total acceptance of the Father's mission. We will see this total submission to the will of the Father in its beautiful climax in the Garden of Gethsemane later in Jesus' life. The suffering servant. Now next we hear that the Holy Spirit descends upon Christ in the form of a dove. This is important because this is for us as Christians the first full revelation of the Blessed Trinity. Right? Before Christ came, we knew that there was one God, but we did not know that there was one God who was three persons. How could we have ever known this except that God revealed it to us? And we see this mystery on full display as Jesus is being baptized. As he goes into the water, as the Spirit descends upon him in the form of a dove, and as the Father's voice thunders from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." We see there in that moment the first manifestation, revelation that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that God is a communion of love And that means that you and I are created in his image and likeness and are made to also be a communion of love. Also, though, this harkens back to Noah and the ark. Because if you remember, after the flood, Noah sends a dove out who brings back a branch to let them know that the flood is over. And the Spirit descends upon Jesus in baptism to show that God is bringing about the destruction of all evil, sin, and wickedness to bring about through baptism the restoration of goodness and of holiness. You and I are plunged into the waters of baptism to come out as new creatures. Third, though, we hear the voice of the Father. And the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is Jesus' mission as the suffering servant. Because again, hearkening back to the Old Testament with the story of Abraham. Remember, God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son, the son that he'd given miraculously to Abraham and Sarah in their old age. So they hike the mountain, and Isaac asks Abraham, "Father, I see the wood, the altar, but where's the lamb of sacrifice?" And Abraham prophetically says, "God himself will provide the lamb, my beloved son." Of course, then as he went to sacrifice his son, the angel appeared and said, "Stop!" And Isaac's life was spared. But before that, Abraham said, "My beloved son, God himself will provide the lamb to be sacrificed." And here we hear the Father calling his son, "My beloved son," showing that Jesus is the lamb that will be sacrificed and offered for the forgiveness of our sins. The heavens had been closed after Adam and Eve had been expelled from the garden, and for the first time with the Father's voice, heaven is rent open again. We hear God speak. The exile is over. Restoration has come as the mission of the Messiah moves forward to the cross. Now, I want to read Galatians 3, 26 through 27, where St. Paul says, "For in Christ Jesus, you were all children of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." Let me read that one more time. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. "For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." What's so marvelous about our faith, brothers and sisters, is that through our baptism, we've been grafted onto Christ. We have put on Christ, and now we live and move and have our being in him. We don't live outside of God, rather we live in him. That's why we were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, because we were plunged into the inner life of the Trinity. That's why we begin all our prayers with that blessed sign of the cross, to mark that we're not praying outside of God, but we, through our baptismal dignity, are praying from within him. It's such a beautiful and powerful mystery of grace that we become partakers in the divine nature, as St. Peter says in his epistle. So we have to claim this identity, live in this identity. As the world is trying to tell us who we are, we have to reject that and accept who we are in Christ, beloved sons and daughters of God, in whom he is well pleased. St. Hilary of Poitiers, whose feast day is today, says this: "Everything that happened to Christ let us know that after the bath of water, the Holy Spirit swoops down upon us from on high, and that adopted by the Father's voice, we too become children of God." There is not a greater event in your life than having been plunged through your baptism into the inner life of God. And all of the mysteries of Christ we claim as our own now. He so identifies himself with us. So the fruits of our baptism then are that we've been freed from sin and reborn as children of God. We've been made members of his mystical body and sharers in his mission. That should excite us. That should light a fire in our hearts that God has condescended so low in love to bring us into his inner life through baptism so that we can partake in the mission of Christ just as his baptism inaugurated his mission. Brothers and sisters, this week and all the days of your life, hold in your hearts that affirmation of the Father that was given to Jesus and through our baptism was given to each and every one of us. As the Father says over you, "You are my beloved Son, you are my beloved daughter in Christ, in whom I am well pleased."